Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Big records were made at today's Boston Marathon. And today also marks the anniversary of another record-setting event, the longest ever game in professional baseball. That game began 30 years ago tonight, and its roster included future Hall of Famers Wade Boggs and Cal Ripken Jr. It started as a relatively unimportant early season game between the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester Red Wings. The Paw Sox tied it up in the bottom of the ninth. Then the game stayed tied for 33 innings until the teams finally called it quits for the night at 3:30 in the morning. The tiebreaker that ended the game wouldn't come for another 2 months. We visited McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket to talk about the event with New York Times columnist Dan Barry, author of the new book Bottom of the 33rd, Hope, Redemption, and Baseball's Longest Game, and also Lou Schweckheimer, vice president and general manager of the Paw Sox. Schweckheimer was the team's PR guy when the game was played, and he told us it almost never started because McCoy Stadium was in such disrepair.
The electrical was antiquated to be kind, and on any given night, sparks would emanate from a light tower. You'd see a little brush fire out there beyond the field. We'd call the fire department. So that night, we started a half hour late and with less light than we probably should have. But we ultimately got the fire out, and off we went.
Dan, in your book, you describe this as a game that ended up, in your words, maddeningly tied.
Right. So in the bottom of the ninth inning, Rochester is up 1-0. And people are pretty much prepared to go home. In fact, the clubhouse manager has the pasta cooked just so that it's ready for when the visiting team comes into the clubhouse.
And so, he thought everyone was going to be just about ready for dinner.
He timed it. He timed everything by the inning, by the out. And so the pasta went on the cooker at around the seventh inning. And then in the bottom of the ninth, with Rochester up 1-0, Pawtucket ties it up. So once the game goes into extra innings, it's open to the mysteries of the night.
What were the fans experiencing as they sat through that endless game?
Pain. They were. The wind is blowing in. It's very cold here.
It's mid-late April.
All these seats are wood. The press box, it looked like a glorified mobile home. It looked like Randy Quaid's home and Vacation. And it was just, the wind would whistle through the stadium.
So it's a decrepit, broken-down old stadium. It's not a pleasant summer evening to watch baseball.
That's a nice way of putting it, yes.
And fans are stuck there for 33 innings.
The more sane fans left. You know, it began with 1,740 fans, but then as the game went on and on and on, fans were looking at their watches and saying, you know, tomorrow's a celebration of the risen Lord. I'm going to go home.
Because it was Easter Sunday.
It was Easter Sunday after midnight. And so by the 30th inning or so, there's maybe 19 people in the stands, not including a couple of cops.
And you, Dan, in your book, describe the scene as so uncomfortable that the team was reduced to lighting fires in 55-gallon gas drums, throwing broken pieces of bat in there to stay warm.
That's true. It looked like something from the East River and Dead End or something. And they kept feeding these fires in these drums with broken bats. And some people say they were actually breaking good bats to keep warm. I know that Wade Boggs, after the 27th inning, he was laying down in the dugout, and he was saying, we are never going to get out of here. We are never going to get out of here. This game will never end. In the 32nd inning, Boggs lays down on the field and uses third base as a pillow, and he's just miserable.
Lou, you were there. Was the scene quite that miserable for both the players and the fans?
Well, I remember distinctly at about 2 o'clock in the morning, Lee Graham, he was a player, he was one of our outfielders, was frozen solid. And I remember him jogging off the field somewhere in the 20s, 23rd, 24th, 25th inning. And he said, can you stop this game? And I said, Lee, I can't.
And the reason you said you can't is that there had basically been a clerical foul-up, right? That year's
Correct.
League guidebook
Right.
didn't tell you what to do if the game wouldn't end. So it took waking up the International League president at his home in where? Ohio at 3 or 4 in the morning to say, what do we do?
Well, Harold Cooper, who was a legend, he was a county commissioner in Ohio and he was our league president, had this Midwestern charm about him. And when we finally got him, said, you what? And we explained to him that the game had been going on for 32 innings. He goes, holy! You know, you can fill in the blank. He said, if nobody scores, I want you to end that thing now and let's get common sense back into the picture. And so We call the umpires over. They thankfully acknowledge that the league president does have a say in the matter.
So the game finally stops for the night, but it's not over. It's tied.
It's tied.
And it wasn't until 2 months later that the Rochester team was back in town and you could finish the game.
Right.
And then it ended very quickly.
It really did. You know, we come up, load the bases, and Dave Koza, for him to come up at that moment with Wade Boggs on deck and just reach out and slap a ball into left to end it.
Dan, you've talked to a lot of the players that played in that game. What do they say now about having been part of that game?
It turns out that for many of them, this is the best it ever got for them. I'm not talking about Cal Ripken or Wade Boggs. You know, they had storied careers well beyond McCoy. But a lot of the other ball players who were working as insurance agents in Georgia or driving a truck in Sacramento, California, for them, this was as good as it got. And they know that a part of this is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and they take great pride in that.
And what's funny is 30 years later, if we had counted the number of people that said they were here, then I don't know how we fit the 1,000,005 that all said they were here at baseball's longest game.
Paw Sox GM Lou Schweckheimer and Dan Barry, author of Bottom of the 33rd, Hope, Redemption, and Baseball's Longest Game. We spoke with them at the site of that game, McCoy Stadium in Pawtucket, Rhode Island.